morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Good to have you with us. You're listening to the Pat Metheny Group. And the great keyboardist Lyle Mays, who died at the age of 66 at his home in Los Angeles. Mays, a multi-time Grammy Award-winning artist, composed music for the film The Falcon and the Snowman. Nearly a dozen Grammy Awards won by Mays. He passed away as a result of a long battle with a recurring illness, according to Pat Metheny's website. Metheny, the great guitarist himself, calling Mays one of the greatest musicians I have ever known. Across more than 30 years, every moment we shared in music was special. From the first notes we played together, we had an immediate bond. His broad intelligence and musical wisdom informed every aspect of who he was in every way. I'll miss him with all my heart. A Wisconsin native whose parents were musicians themselves, he grew up straddling the worlds of science and technology and music. He's highly knowledgeable about computers and programming and a true innovator when it came to music. Lyle Mays, who also performed with many other great artists, including Joni Mitchell, Earth, Wind, and Fire, and others, again, passed away at the age of 66. It's Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. Coming up second hour, we'll be talking about New Hampshire, where, of course, the first primary of the year is taking place just 8 days after the Iowa caucuses, which were a fiasco in the counting of the caucus votes there. Hopefully things will go smoother in New Hampshire today, where Bernie Sanders is the favorite. We'll talk about that next hour. But first, we talk about speed limits on city streets. Now, under California law, if 85% or more of drivers are driving above the speed limit on a local street, then cities need to raise that speed limit. That's caused concerns that that might not be in the best interest of public safety. With us to talk about a proposal to allow communities more ability to avoid having to raise their speed limits is Rebecca Toda, who's transportation engineer working in Los Angeles. She was on the advisory group that provided input to California's Zero Traffic Fatalities Task Force, and they're one of the groups that's critical of this state law. Rebecca, thank you very much for being with us. What's the rationale for this law that requires speed limits to be essentially matching how most people are driving?
You know, this law comes from the mentality from decades ago that the safest speed is the speed that is most intuitive to drivers. And therefore, if 85% of the people are driving at or below a speed, then that should be the appropriate speed limit for a street.
All right. And is that based on the flow of traffic, Rebecca? The idea that you don't want cars with too big a differential in their speeds?
Yes, variance can cause collisions.
Okay. And do we know, has there been a study on city streets that have increased their speed limits as a result of that law? Have there been increasing injuries or fatalities?
I don't know for specific cities, but I mean, research as a whole leads us to believe that increasing speeds leads to increase in severe injuries and fatalities.
I would think, though, that would be very different comparing local streets and that it would depend, wouldn't it, on the specific circumstance as opposed to just assuming that in every case raising the speed limit is less safe?
Of course. And I think, again, this mentality comes from decades ago when a lot of the streets were more rural, were more highways. And I think now what we're experiencing in Los Angeles and many other cities in California and across the country is that urban contexts are just different. We have traffic signals, we have driveways, and of course we have pedestrians and cyclists and now scooters. So, you know, the concept that drivers can drive the speed that they feel comfortable and therefore it's safe doesn't hold in this day and age where we have so much more of a complex environment.
Also with us is Chad Dornsife, Executive Director of the Best Highway Safety Practices Institute based in Portland. Thank you very much, Chad, for being with us. What do you think makes sense here?
Well, there's a misunderstanding what the 85th percentile speed is. She's correct, and that's a public consensus of what they have found safe for the street. But how it's determined, it's the traffic engineer going out and finding out what the actual operating speed of that roadway is for the conditions there present. And it's supposed to be the primary consideration from a safety standpoint for all signal timing and all other actions on that roadway. But in fact, it's actually supposed to be a byproduct of a safety audit where you look at the accidents, what's occurring, where the conflicts are occurring, the clusters of accidents, and then you're supposed to go back and remedy for those. And what's happened is the cities don't even want to do the surveys to find out what the operating speed is in the first place. And then the safety audits are not being done whatsoever anymore, even in California. This 85th percentile rule that they're complaining about was the culmination of traffic signals and traffic engineers for the California Traffic Control Device Committee spent 4 years, just a few years ago, going over these standards to make sure safest practices are being followed. And this was the result of that consensus, number one. Number two, there is extensive study showing when you artificially lower speed limits, accidents actually go up. And three, California speed trap laws are designed to make sure that people operating at a normal and safe speed aren't subject to speed traps, where if you artificially lower speed limits below the actual operating speeds, the ultimate is a speed trap that is the final result.
Well, and I would think that you would create a hazard if people have a natural tendency, and particularly you're talking about 85%, so that's overwhelming majority, to drive at a particular speed, and you have an artificially low speed limit, you're going to have people who are going to drive at sort of that natural, what feels safe speed, in conflict with people driving at that slower speed, aren't you? I mean, that would seem to be a hazard.
It is a hazard, but more importantly, the 85th percentile comes from an engineering study that gives you the 10-mile-an-hour range that most vehicles are traveling with, and it shows you the outliers at both ends. So it gives you a real good picture of what the operating condition is on that roadway as your guidance. And what they're attempting to do here is to eliminate that guidance altogether and go to arbitrary setting of signal timing, which are usually inadequate, and all traffic control based on somebody's wishful thinking rather than an actual fact-based determination.
I'd like to hear from listeners. What do you think about this? How should speed limits be set on local streets? We're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722. Do you like the idea that traffic engineers look at the speeds that people are traveling, remove the outliers from it, look at what essentially the consensus is on how people drive the street? Should that be the factor, or should cities have the latitude to set the speed limit that they think is right for a local street? 866-893-KPECC. That's 866-893-5722, or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Chad Dornsife, I think much of what's driving this, though, is the concern that people's instinct about what's safe to drive is not taking into account sufficiently the increasing numbers of bicycles, traffic that exists now, and that people have been slow to factor that in. Your response to that?
Actually, the exact opposite is true, and it's actually codified in the California Motor Vehicle Code that when the traffic engineers, in fact, it's engineering practice, the driver sees the bicyclists, they see the driveways, they see the walkways, they see the schools, they see the churches, and their driving speed is predicated on their visual input. If they're in an area where there's nothing going on, the speeds may be higher, but if they're in an area where there's a lot of activity, people slow down. So it's already reflected in their judgment. So when you say all these things are going on, if you're driving next to bicyclists and everything else, it's already reflected in their actions.
So you're saying that everybody would have to be ignoring bicycles, driveways, hazards, etc., for that not to show up in the data that's considered.
Exactly.
866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Rebecca Tota, your response to what Chad Dornsife is saying.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if I believe that everyone is aware of all of the risk factors involved in driving. And I think I saw that when I was looking at speed data from LA when I was doing my research, and we found like multiple situations in which the operating speeds of roads will go up even if no changes are made to the roadway over time. And that's what we call speed creep, the concept that speeds just keep increasing over time. And there's a lot of reasons for that. You know, cars these days are much safer than they were decades ago. And therefore, when you're driving, you feel so safe. And so people aren't as cautious and they feel more comfortable going faster. And I'd like to respond to the concept of artificial speeds. I think that we see lots of examples currently where we prioritize safety and therefore we feel comfortable setting speeds without looking at operating speeds. In areas like school zones are areas where we say, you know, safety is important, children's lives are important, and therefore we should be able to set a speed limit at 25 miles per hour or 15 miles per hour, regardless of whether everyone else feels safe driving 30 or 40 miles per hour on that street.
Now, I thought, though, that school zones, they have a carve-out from this, don't they?
A carve-out?
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to apply this. If school zone, a city can just set that as 25 miles an hour, right? They don't, if people are blowing past the school at 40 miles an hour, they don't, during school hours, have to adhere to that, right, under state law?
Right, it's only during when children are present.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a listener call from Myra in Santa Monica. You're on Air Talk. Myra, doesn't sound like you're ready. We'll see if we can get you prepped. Vanessa in Glendale says we need a standard of 25 miles an hour residential, 40 on larger streets. Otherwise, people are just too crazy on the roads. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. How should cities establish what are the best speed limits to have on their streets, whether they're residential or whether they're business roads, whether they are regional throughways in cities? 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Chad Dornsife, schools are something where you don't have to apply this, right?
Yes.
Okay. And are there other examples of places where cities can just apply what they think is the best speed limit?
Yes, they can do that anywhere in California, except you can't enforce it with traffic enforcement.
Okay. So the issue is enforcement. If you set...
They can post it anything they want, but if they want to enforce it, they have to post it according to the rules.
All right. Jessica in Los Feliz, you're on Air Talk.
Hi. I was calling to respond to Chad. I completely disagree that cars can sense how safely they can, or how fast they can safely drive. I'm a pedestrian. I run. I walk to the grocery store. I ride my bike, and cars are completely unsafe around me. And cars are so big these days that they kill people at much lower speeds.
Now, are these people that are adhering to the speed limit, Jessica, or going faster than the limit?
Both.
Okay. Chad Dornsife?
Yes, my favorite example of this was I'll make this real short, a PTA group got together and they went to the sheriff's department and they said people are driving too fast in this area of the school. The sheriff set up a radar trailer for 3 days, and at the fourth day started writing tickets. Three of the five people in the PTA got tickets because the driver out there is them. They are the people using that school zone. They are the people in the residential area. It's your neighbors and yourself that are being measured. It's not some fictitious person from afar. It's actually the people who live and work there who are being measured on these streets in most cases.
But Jessica's point is that she feels the majority of people really aren't taking into account the additional hazards that exist today, and that cyclists are so vulnerable that people are not taking them into account.
The truth is, fact-based engineering based on actual data results in overall accident reductions, as opposed to putting something up that nobody's doing, usually results in higher accidents.
Let's talk with Heidi in West Los Angeles. You're on Air Talk. What do you think?
Hi, I just feel like the whole algorithm is kind of obsolete. I don't feel like the speeds that a car is traveling are reflective of the driver's awareness at all. Most drivers aren't even looking at the road. They're watching their phone or their nav or their something else handheld. I don't think the pedestrians that cross in traffic are looking at the cars. They're looking at their phones. I think the bicyclists have issues with following traffic laws, and to the extent that they're following the laws, they've got too much to be scared of in terms of the drivers and the pedestrians that aren't looking where they're going. The speeds aren't reflective of what's really happening outside the car because the driver isn't looking at what's happening outside the car.
Heidi, I appreciate it very much. Thank you. Janet in Northridge, you live on a street where they made the speed limit higher. What happened?
They raised it from 35 to 45. I never heard anything about it. When I brought it up on Nextdoor, people said, oh, yes, they've been talking about doing this because the law says that they can and the speed is higher than what people are actually driving. But it's dangerous. I have three schools. I have Cal State Northridge. I have a high school, Northridge Academy, and also Granada Hills Charter, all on that street, all with moms taking their kids to school, college students crossing, riding scooters, riding bikes, and it's crazy dangerous.
Now, do they have a 25-mile-an-hour speed limit during school hours to account for people being dropped off and kids, you know, walking across the street?
Yes, they do. But high schools start and stop at such a variety of times that there's kids all day long.
Yeah.
You know, look at it and say, you know, it's not a peak time.
All right. Janet, I really appreciate you sharing your experience from the street on which you live. And I want to thank our guests, Rebecca Toda, transportation engineer, and Chad Dornsife of Best Highway Safety Practices Institute. You can share your comments about how you think cities should be setting their speed limits on the Air Talk page, kpcc.org. Coming up, the state of the local housing and rental market. What's going on with inventory? We know that mortgage interest rates are down again, making it very attractive on that side of the equation to buy a house. But what about all the other factors? It's Air Talk on KPCC, back in 1 minute.